Good morning. If you have kids to send down, Allison is getting ready to head down for children's worship. If I seem a little more flustered than normal, it might be because of several things that have happened over the past 3 days. Yeah. I announced a couple weeks ago that I was directing middle camp. I made a plea last week. We canceled middle camp on Friday because of the number of staff and kids that we had, and we started looking at logistics and realized that the ultimate answer, no matter how we tried to do it, was that we were going to have to cancel. So that was a fun 3-hour meeting. We went up yesterday, was awesome. We went to camp and had our first community day at camp. Invited people from Black River Falls and anywhere to come and join us. Our neighbor, since camp has been there, his name is Chuck, and he came and got a tour, and my kids were some of the ones that took him on the tour. We were on the ride home, and Abby's like, you know, he probably could have given the tour for us. And had just some really great people come through that we only had, like, under 10 people total visit in 4 hours. But those people that came were encouraged by coming back and seeing the camp that they went to 54 years ago, or encouraged us by just saying what great neighbors they felt we were and how encouraged they were by the kids when they're there in the summer. I'm trying to build myself up to be happy right now. And I get here this morning and I thought, hey, I got all the bugs worked out of the live stream stuff. We're good. And no, it started popping up errors again, and then the live stream start, the countdown starts, and the audio isn't there. And so bear with me. Jonah is an awesome book. So Jonah starts out, and God comes to him, and God says, the first verse says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, the first commission that Jonah gets from God is, go and tell these people that I am very displeased and I am going to destroy this place. And his first inclination is, I'm going to go from Joppa down here. I'm going to run all the way here to Tarshish. Approximately 2,500 miles. Now, in the opposite direction, Nineveh was a mere 550 miles away. So he puts approximately 3,000 miles between himself and where God wants him to go. Anybody ever experienced a time in your life where you really felt like God was telling you, this is what you need to do? And that really was not what you wanted to do. And you tried to get away from that somehow. Well, Jonah takes that to the extreme. And we learn at the end of the book that his fear is that the people are going to repent. And he doesn't want that, because he wants them to get destroyed because they're evil. And he knows better than God. They need to be destroyed. So what is it that causes him to run away? It's that exactly. God has called him to something. And it's something that challenges Jonah's core beliefs. Jonah's core beliefs are that if someone is so nasty and terrible in this world that they have drawn God's attention and are going to get his wrath, that's what they deserve. They don't deserve to have the opportunity to repent. They don't deserve to experience God's mercy. We have to guard ourselves against falling into that same trap. Sometimes we have people that give us experiences in our lives that shape how we see others. We have to fight against that, because even though I have done horrible, ugly things against God. Remember when we talked in the Psalms, David talks about sins that he has done. His sin with Bathsheba, even. David doesn't classify that as a sin against Bathsheba or even against her husband. He classifies that as a sin against God. All of his sins he counts against God. And so we have to be very careful with our own lives and realize that the sins that we're seeing are not against us. Let's not make ourselves so important. That person who has wronged us has sinned against God. And it's up to us to allow him to figure out how that's going to play out. Now, Jonah gets on the boat, and the people that are there on the ship with him, once that storm boils up, and that ship is in danger of sinking, they start to question things. And when they ask Jonah, and he tells them who he is, I mean, they know that he's running from his God. He tells them that when he gets on the ship. I'm getting away. But then they realize the God that he's running from, and they're afraid that he's with them, and he's running from this God. And they're afraid to get rid of him, like they've gotten rid of all of the cargo that they were carrying, to try and save the ship. They try and row back to shore. God says, nope, that's not the plan. And ultimately, Jonah ends up in the whale, the fish, Leviathan. We don't know exactly what it is. And this is one of those parts of the story that people look at it and they say, this is allegory. This isn't real. This isn't a historical. Every part of Jonah, when you look at how it's written as a historical book. It's written like these are facts. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. But that's how the book is written. It's not written as poetry, prose. It's not written as an illustration for us. It's written as historical fact. It quotes places and people that actually existed. So just because we don't get it and we have to use illustrations like this to try and wrap our minds around it, doesn't mean that it didn't happen. So in chapter 2 of Jonah, we see that he saves. He's saved. Why is he saved? What happens? What changes? Well, he's in the fish and he starts to pray. And that prayer that he begins to pray is pretty powerful. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Now, one of the places that we hear Jonah quoted is in the New Testament, when Jesus is talking, when we're hearing about the sign of Jonah in relation to Jesus being in the tomb. And listen to this. Jonah says that when he's in the fish, he's in the realm of the dead. And he's calling out to God for help. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath bared me in fervor. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. Again, Jonah tried to run away from God. He ends up in the fish. He is at the bottom of the sea. And still, God is there. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Now, I don't know, but I think that that last line there, when Jonah says, I will say salvation comes from the Lord, I think that is him finally accepting the charge that God has given him to go to Nineveh. He's not just saying, I'm going to proclaim that. He's saying, I'm going to go to Nineveh, and I am going to proclaim that salvation is going to come to you from God if you embrace it. And I think that right there is the turn for Jonah, and it's why the next line, which every kid loves, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, where did it put him? We aren't really told. Did he have to go home and get new clothes? Did he just go in dripping fish guts and seaweed? We don't know. When he gets to Nineveh, though, this story is going to give him credibility. If any of you have watched the VeggieTales movie, Jonah, you know that that's the time that Nineveh was, they had this belief that one of the people that could bring prophecies to them was a half fish. If you watch Jonah, you learn that they slapped each other with fish, and they were very naughty. And they were. And that's why Jonah didn't want to go there in the first place. Think about places that you read about in the news. Places that you don't want to go. Watching The Lion King. Well, that's the Shadowlands. We don't go there. That's where Jonah was going. And he was going there because in the belly of that fish, he understood that what he felt about people, what he felt about someone, didn't matter. He had to embrace how God feels about us. And God loves each and every one of us. God wants to see each and every one of us saved. He wants to have each and every one of us in a relationship with him. So if we're not in relationship with him, it's not because he's not offering it. It's because we're not accepting and we're turning away. We're the ones that are running away to Tarshish. Now, again, if you have watched the movie Jonah, you know what. Anybody know what number this is? This is the big music number. They even call it that. So this is the choir singing the God of Second Chances. And that's exactly what God is. And that's exactly what he sends Jonah to proclaim to the Ninevites. The interesting thing is, remember in chapter 1, God says, I'm going to send you to preach doom and gloom and destruction. And Jonah's like, they don't deserve to hear that, God, because they might get scared and change their minds. So when God sends him the second time, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. So the first time Jonah knows, I'm going to preach destruction. I'm going to go and tell these people that God is going to smite them. The second time God says, go, I'm going to tell you what the message that you're going to give them is later. And Jonah goes. And he gets there, and he shares the message with them. And as Tony read, they repent. They hear what they've done. They understand that there is a chance for them to change their ways and not face destruction and death, and they do it. we have to, as Christians, accept the commission that's given to Jonah. Because it's the same commission that God has given to us. He's asked us to go into all the world. He hasn't asked us just to go to the places where we're comfortable. He hasn't asked us just to go to the people that we know. As we grow in number as a Christian body, God doesn't really, he's not displeased when we grow in number because someone comes from another congregation. But that's not the growth that he wants to see. He wants to see us in our communities sharing the fact that he is the God of second chances, that people can find forgiveness and mercy in his son. How are you living your life right now? Are you living your life like Jonah and putting distance between yourself and the people that need to hear the message of forgiveness? Or are you living like Jonah after the fish and saying, I'm going to teach and I'm going to tell that forgiveness, mercy, and grace flow from God? And that this, Jesus Christ, is how you can experience that. My prayer is that each of us feels empowered to be able to be Jonah after the fish. That we feel like the message of love that we have received from God is great enough, strong enough, and important enough that we have a fire inside that causes us to desire to share it. That makes us think when we haven't shared it that we've missed an opportunity. Not that we dwell on that, but that we see it and we say, I need to do it differently next time. Jonah didn't dwell on the fact that he ran away from God to begin with. He came out, sat up on the shore, looked around, and did what God was asking him to do. He wasn't concerned with past failures. He wasn't concerned with door-knocking campaigns that didn't work. He wasn't concerned with outreach ideas that you thought were amazing that fell on their face. He was concerned with the next opportunity he was going to have to share the message of salvation with someone. That's how I want us to live. That's how I pray for us to live. How deep is God's mercy? I grew up in Northern California, and one of the lakes close to where I grew up didn't have a bottom. They brought in submarines, they brought in sonar, and there was no bottom to this lake. God's mercy is deeper than that. Ultimately, it was mapped, and they found that the bottom was actually a lava tunnel that went back over to another lake in the county where I grew up. Now, God's love and his mercy are so deep that we can't understand it. We can't fathom it. People that we see that we judge to be undeserving, unredeemable, God's mercy and God's love can redeem and bring even those people back. Now, the other message that we get from Jonah is that God's will needs to be obeyed. We need to follow it. We know that his desire is for us to share the gospel. We know that his desire is for us to live and to look like Jesus. We know that God's desire is for our lives to be filled with his mercy so that the lives of people around us will receive that mercy from us and in turn see that there is something different that they can have. Now, again, just remember that, like I said, this book is not written like a fairy tale. It's not written like the poetry that we find in Psalms. It's written like a historical book. It's written like Kings, 1 and 2 Kings. It's written like the Gospels, where it is an accounting of things that these people actually experienced. So this message of repentance, look around us. Do the people around us need this message today? Do your neighbors at home need to hear the message of repentance and forgiveness? Build those relationships. It's scary, I know, and it's not easy to just go up and immediately share the gospel, and that's probably not the best way to do it. The first mission trip that I ever went on was to Sweden, Finland, and St. Petersburg, Russia. When we were in Finland, we were told, don't even worry about trying to share the gospel with people. We were told that because to be a missionary in Finland at that point in time, with their culture, it took about 10 years to be established in the culture and the community and build relationships with people before they felt comfortable talking about salvation and issues like that. If you tried before that point in time, people were going to distance you and were not going to give you the opportunities to minister to them. So you had to minister through being there and being an example before you could talk about things. I'm not saying that in the U.S. it takes 10 years. But you definitely have to know that you have a relationship where you can talk to someone and you can know that they live a homosexual lifestyle, but they trust you enough that you can share with them how you believe about that, how you feel about that, and that they are still going to come to you and have conversation and discourse with you. You have to be able to talk to people who are living in sin and call that sin out and still have a friendship with them. It is possible. I say it is possible because I have friends that fall into that category. They are held to a different standard. The people that we are reaching out to don't have Christ. They need him desperately, as the people of Nineveh needed God desperately to show them mercy and grace. The people of the world around us need mercy and grace desperately today. If we are not willing to be Jonahs for them, where are they going to get it from? Who are they going to hear it from? I ran away from middle camp for several years. Rob Daniel, who has been middle camp director for a long time, continually would say, Kevin, come on. And I'd say, Rob, look, I go to intermediate camp. I'm a high school and junior high English teacher. I don't do 11 to 13 year olds. That's not my thing. I'm into 13 to 15. Yeah, that's my wheelhouse. I love that. And plus, everybody in the family goes there. I know everybody that's on staff there. I just can't do it, Rob. And I did that year after year after year. I got an email from Rob this year, and I looked at it, and I was like, okay, I've got to get back to Rob. We have to go through this again this year. We need to do our dance. Before I could do that, I got a phone call from another board member And I was told, we need somebody to step in and help direct middle camp. Rob has too many things on his plate. He can't do it. And I said, yes, I can do that. And then I started looking at what it cost me to say that. And I sent an email back to everybody else and said, okay, I said yes. I said it really fast. These are the things. But I'm going to work as hard as I can right now to make middle camp happen. God brought me to a point where I had said no so many times to Rob. And God said, okay, you have to say yes now. You don't have a choice. And he brought me through a lot of pain, a lot of tears, and some really hard choices for people other than myself to bring me to the point where I can go to intermediate camp this year. Because I failed to do what he wanted me to do before. He's giving me mercy. He wants to give you mercy. He wants to give you grace. He wants to fill each of us with his love. And he wants us to use that to reach those who don't know his love. So if you are searching for a connection to God today, if you want to know what that mercy that the Ninevites experienced is like, please come and talk with me, talk with Ken, talk with Troy, talk with someone here about that need. If you are a member of this congregation, if you are a member of Christ's body, no matter where you normally worship, and you feel a need for prayer, you feel a need to talk with somebody, to express a need, I beg of you to come up and to talk with me. Pray with me if you need it. We are a family, and we are a family that should desire to have as many people in our family as possible, because God loves all of us, and he wants all of us to be saved. If you have a need, if you want to talk, please come and let me know as we stand together and sing.